of Calvary. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. I feel that in my spirit this morning. Worthy is the Lamb. You are worthy of our praises. You are worthy of all of our mouths, God. You are worthy, God, in spite of God. You are worthy, God, for all his sin and falling short of the glory of God. You are worthy, God. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy. Worthy you are, God. Worthy is the Lamb. I'm trying to move on, but it's something about it that, it's something about that. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy, 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 worthy. We thank you for the blood. We thank you for your blood. If it was not for your blood, we would not have grace. We would not be saved. We would not have redemption. We would not have reconciliation. We would not be able to move forward in you. Worthy is the Lamb. Hey, God. Worthy are you, God. Worthy, 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 worthy. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy, you're worthy, you're worthy, you're worthy, you're worthy. You're worthy, Jesus. You're worthy, Jesus. You're worthy, God. 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 Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Oh, God. Worthy is the Lamb. Yes. Oh God, worthy, worthy, you're worthy, you're worthy, you're worthy. Ooh, there's something about that name when I hear the name of Jesus, it does something in my spirit. You see, we live in a time right now to where people don't get excited about the name of Jesus, to where when they hear worthy as the Lamb, it does nothing for them. We live in a time right now to where, oh God, they have a false reality of who he is and who he was and who he is to be and who he is and his majesty, his glory, his rule, his reign. They have a false reality of who he is. They have a false perception of who the Messiah is. You see, we live in a time right now, perilous times right now, to where all people are seeking a soothsaying prophet, and all people are seeking, glory to God, as witch doctors and psychics and witches and warlocks to want to hear a word, but they don't want to hear who Jesus is. All they want is a word that's going to soothe them, that's going to thrust them into what they think they should be. But glory to God, nothing happens unless it goes through Jesus. So this morning we humble ourselves and we know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life.
Amen.
That no man shall come unto the Father unless they go through Jesus.
Breathe.
Jesus, you rule and you reign and you have your way in. You paved the way for humanity. You paved the way for the Jews. You paved the way for the Israel and the Gentiles. You paved the way for us to have, glory to God, a doorway to salvation. You came down and you were slain. Oh, glory to God. You came off of your throne. You came and you said, Lord, not my will, but let your will be done. And, oh, when you was in the Garden of Gethsemane and you were praying and you were interceding for humanity, you said, Lord, not my will, but Lord, let your will be done. And we thank you for that. We thank you that you said in your word that you laid your life down. You laid your life down. You humbled yourself and you moved out of the way just for us.
Yes.
Glory to God.
Glory.
You humbled yourself and you said, Father, not my will, but let your will be done.
Yes.
In the earth realm. Because there was work for us to do. If it was not for you doing that, where would we be? If we operated, if we had the same mindset of as a worldly figure, as our sinful nature, if you operated in that same capacity, where would we be? thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for us on the cross of Calvary. Lord, we want to reverence you this morning because you are worthy. And Lord, we are nothing without you. We are nothing without you, Jesus. We are nothing without you, Jesus. So before we go forth in this word, Lord, I feel that we must exalt you in all things. We must give you the glory.
Yes.
We must give you the glory because, Lord, it is you. It is you. And we are nothing without you. Thank you, Jesus. Very quickly with me, amen, would you turn to the book of Matthew? The book of Matthew, amen, the 13th chapter. Glory to God. The 13th chapter, and we'll be reading from verses 53 through 56, amen. And I will be coming from the King James Version. Glory to God. Matthew, amen, 13 verses 53 through 56, glory to God. Hallelujah. And I will give you time, amen, to get there, amen. It is the first book in the New Testament. Glory to God. Hallelujah. When you have it, amen, say, I got it. I got it, amen. When you have it, amen, say, I got it. Amen. Glory to God. The Bible simply says in this text, it says, and it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, and so much that they were astonished and said, When hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary and his brethren James? Glory to God. If I'm not mistaken, amen, is that Joseph, amen, and Simon and then Judas and his sisters? Are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? Amen. This morning I want to preach, amen, on a subject called having a false perception. Amen. Having a false perception. Amen. As we look in the text, amen, glory to God. As we look at the text, it gives us evidence that they did not know who Jesus really was. Mm-hmm. That they had a perception of who he was, right? They had a perception, a thought of who Jesus was. Perception defined is what? The ability to see, hear, or come aware of something through sense. Some people, amen, glory to God, think, amen, they have discernment, and it's only their own thoughts of being insecure with themselves. So what happens is, amen, it breeds, amen, it bursts, amen, a form of suspiciousness about everything because they are unsure of themselves, causing identity issues, amen, not only in the natural, but also in the spiritual realm of a person. So it causes them, amen, to have a false perception of things. It breeds for them to have a false perception, but not only a false perception, but what happens is, glory to God, it causes them to even walk with a false expectation that will never come to reality. You see the people, amen, who are speaking in this particular text, amen, they look, amen, at Jesus' upbringing. They look, amen, at his past situation, assuming because of who his parents was and his upbringing and his tangible environment, glory to God, they thought they knew who he was. They were looking, amen, in the natural eye. They were looking at the tangible things that they saw right then and there in the synagogue in that place. And they were looking at him, glory to God, based off what? His occupation, based off his employment. Because they said, isn't he only a carpenter? They were looking at him and basing their perception off of his outer appearance. You see, people of God, people will define you by what they think they know about you. People will define you, glory to God, about, amen. People will define you by where you work. People will define you by your employment status. People will define you by what type of education you have. People will define you, amen, based off your degrees. But oh my God, do they not know who made you, who formed you, who shaped you, what they are flowing in? They have the wrong perception of who you really are.
Yes.
Some people, glory to God, will base a judgment off of you in the middle of your metamorphosis. Glory to God.
Thank you,
Jesus. Whew. As we look into the text, amen, prior to Jesus entering into the synagogue to teach, amen, he just came out of one of the heaviest revivals. He just came out of a heavy revival that was outside of the synagogue, which was back then was a place where they gathered with the priests, amen, to hear the word of God. But when we look at the text, we must understand that before he even entered him back to his own region, his own country, where he came from, he sent the multitude away. And what amazes me is that Jesus had a mega church outside of the church. He had a mega church outside of the church, and I guarantee, amen, the perception of that, he was wrecking, amen, their whole, amen, their whole monologue, their whole mindset, because the people were to gather in a synagogue. He was wrecking their perception of what they thought the glory was. Can I pause there for a minute, glory to God, and can I prophesy something over your lives real quickly? I want you to know, people of God, that God is about to use you in a place to where people thought he would never use you. He is about to use you in a place to where your family, your friends, your haters, your enemies will look up and say, who is this person? Aren't they who I thought they were? Don't they just have this degree? Don't they, amen, don't they, aren't they employed here? Don't they just work at McDonald's? Aren't they just employed at Burger King? Who are they?
Thank you.
Glory to God. But what they don't understand is that they are looking at your past, but they have the wrong perception of who they thought you were.
All right.
And God sent this warning that they better be careful about putting their mouths on you in this season. Because, glory to God, because the very one they put their mouth on would be the very one, the amen, that's supposed to save their soul. Would be the very one, the amen, that is attached to their breakthrough. Would be the very one that's attached to their deliverance. But they have a false perception. And by the false perception of you will cause them to miss their destiny.
All right.
Glory to God. God has so anointed you in this hour and in this season. Oh, glory to God. That people don't even understand as they slander your name and they drag you through the mud and rumors and speculations and accusations are going on about you. And you are being attacked by the enemy time and time again. But they don't understand the anointing that is on your life. They are judging you in the middle of your metamorphosis. They have a false perception of who you really are. And if they are not careful, they will miss what God has instilled in you that you are supposed to give them. But based off their false perception and based off lack of honor, honoring of who you are in God, it will cause them, amen, to miss the whole prophetic, amen, movement in their lives. And they will miss, amen, a major step that's supposed to catapult them into where they are called to be. Because some people, amen, have the wrong, amen, perception of who you are. Because when you came in, amen, you're not who they thought that you should be or who you would be, because they're basing you off of who you used to be.
All right.
Lack of honor. There's so much lack of honor that's going on in the church. There's so much fraternization going on in the church. There's so much familiarity going on in the church. It breeds a lack of honor. Therefore, what we see a lot of people people who are stagnated, amen, glory to God, in the house of God, and they have a false perception of who you should be and how you should look and how you should talk, but they don't know what you've been through.
Thank you, Lord. That's right.
And what's amazing, amen, as we look into the particular text, amen, if we go down a little bit, it says, and they were offended with him.
Huh.
It says, and they were offended with him. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say it again. And they were offended with him. You see, they were offended because of the power and the authority that he operated in. They were offended, amen, because of the glory that he walked in. They were offended because they had a false perception of who he was, and they were stagnated, and they were mind blown by how much power and glory and knowledge and revelation and wisdom and understanding that Jesus walked in.
All right.
They were offended because they did not have the power that Jesus walked in. They were offended because they didn't have the anointing that he walked in. They were offended because they lacked signs, wonders, and miracles. And the multitude followed him outside of the synagogue, outside of the church. People followed him, and they were around him. They wanted to be around him. They were offended because of who he was.
Yes.
But they did not know who he was. They had a false had a false perception of who he was. The Bible says, and I'm going to read that again, and they were offended in him. But Jesus said that what? A prophet is without honor. A prophet is without honor save in his own country, in his own house. You want to know why a lot of people don't receive who you are and don't want to accept who you are? Because, amen, glory to God, a prophet is without honor in his own home. But people are still looking at your past situations. People are still judging you for who you used to be and what you used to do, and that you backslidden and that you did this and that you did that. But they don't accept who you are because they don't understand the anointing on your life, that I had to backslide. I had to go through this. I had to go through this trial, test, and tribulation. I had to, because it was written in the book. It was wrote because God is the author and finisher of our faith. He's not surprised by when we do things and when we fall and when we fall back into things, glory to God. But understand, glory to God, what the enemy, glory to God, meant for evil, God what meant it for our good. So you want to know why a lot of people in your family, amen, don't hear you when you talk about God, don't hear you when you say, the Lord showed me this, the Lord showed me that? They don't honor you. They don't honor the anointing that is on your life. But don't be dismayed. Don't be discouraged, because a prophet is without honor around familiar people. That's why Jesus was not in the synagogue at that particular time. Most, amen, of his dynamic movements was outside of the synagogue, away, amen, from religious people, away from people who thought they knew who God was, away from people, amen, who would not accept him.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Yes.
Offense will cause you to miss what God has placed in the prophet's mouth. You see, their perception in this particular text, their perception of what the church or what ministry should look like, caused them to miss the impartation from Jesus. Having the wrong perception, glory to God, and I'm going to say this, having the wrong perception of what a pastor or someone in ministry should wear while bringing forth the word of God, should wear while entering into the congregation, will cause you to miss God.
That's right.
Because you're too busy looking at what I have on and what I got on and the way I look, versus instead of you entering into the house of God looking and seeking after Jesus. But you're looking and seeking after me. You're looking for a mortal man when you should be looking for the healing which cometh your help, and your help comes from God.
Thank you. Amen.
That's good.
So let me ask you a question. Glory to God. Let me ask you a question. Does the man or woman of God wearing a suit make them anointed? Do I have to have on a clergy robe, amen, anointing and dabble with big crosses and everything else to make me anointed? Or would me wearing, amen, something other than that fake, amen, make you think I should wear, amen, what you think I should wear? Would that make me more effective in this dispensation? Or let me put it like this. With me walking around with this for demonstration purposes. With me walking around my prayer shawl, speaking in tongues and all over my head, would that make me more effective? Having a false perception. People will miss their impartation based off of them looking with the natural eye. It will cause them to miss the spiritual impartation of what the Holy Spirit wants to place on the inside of them. They will miss the impartation that's meant to activate and stir up the fire down on the inside and stir up the gifts on the inside. They will miss the stirring part.
Yes.
That's why so many people look dry, because they're not stirred, because they have a false perception on how you should look and what you should wear and what you should have on. And if I don't have on my clergy robe, I don't feel anointed. If I don't have my armor bearer next to me carrying my stuff, I don't feel anointed. If I don't have an entourage around me.
Okay. All right.
Does it make me more effective in this dispensation? Here in the monsoon. You see, some people, glory to God, will judge you based off of what you wear. They will judge you, amen, based off of what? The tattoos, the outer appearance that you have, that you don't look like them, but you look apart. They will judge you based off what? Some piercings. They will judge you based off of what? Coming in the church and you might have on a hat. They will judge you, amen, clothes, amen, where they might come in here, amen, for the first time with clothes that might be what? Inappropriate at times. They will judge you off of that, glory to God. But be careful, because some of those same people that your religious nose is snarling up at and frowning at might be the key to your next level of promotion in the kingdom. But you missed it because you judged them having a what? A false what? A false perception on what you thought they should look like and what you thought they should come out of. If we look, amen, at Jesus' garments, and then the Bible somewhat describes it, and we've seen pictures and we've seen DVDs, and we look at where Jesus came from. Jesus had humble beginnings.
Yes, he did.
They won't judge you. They won't.
Amen.
If we have that type of mentality, we will miss. Amen. Glory to God. We will miss, because you have to understand that the Bible says that it is one body, right? But made up of many members. But how is the body effective, amen, if the hand without the foot? How is the body effective, glory to God, the arm without the leg? We have to understand in some way, some form of fashion, we are all connected in the spiritual realm. So I can't look down on you and frown upon you, because at that particular time, you might not know. You might not understand, amen, glory to God, how to come into church and how, amen, to cover yourself up. But we should be careful on looking down on people, amen, that don't understand. And we should be looking and praying unto God when we first meet them and first have an encounter with them. Lord, how can I impact their life, God? How can I pray for them? How can I intercede for them? How, amen, can I plant good seeds in their life and not contaminated seeds?
All right.
You see, there's so much religious spirits that dwell in the church. There's so much that goes on that based off the first perception and first encounter on who they think you are, in their mind it is ingrained that is who you are. But I came to let the enemy know that the devil is a liar.
Amen.
Glory to God. The devil is a liar. Can I say it like this? Can I say it like this? I know that this, amen, glory to God, it might make some religious people on Facebook, amen, feel uncomfortable, amen, and mad, but I want them to understand that religion is a demon. Religion is a demon, and I really want to antagonize, amen, that religious demon this morning. Because if I antagonize it, amen, it will cause a stirring to make it manifest. And we have the ability, now that it has been identified, now we have the ability, the authority, and the power to cast it off of you. Amen. And we have the ability, amen, to help you with your religious acts. Amen. And one thing we got to understand, when a person operates in religion, amen, it is nothing but a mere indicator, amen, that they are racist in the spiritual realm. I'm going to say that again, that they are racist in the spiritual realm. How can I say that? If we look at Apostle Peter, amen, in the particular text, amen, when God had to take him up in a trance and he had to let him know that everything I made and everything I created, amen, glory to God, is clean. Everything I've done is clean. It is okay, Peter, for you to accept, amen, not only what you eat, but also accept the Gentiles.
Yeah, glory. Thank you, Jesus.
Apostle Peter had an issue. He was racist towards the Gentiles.
Yes, he was.
Most people won't say it, but he was racist towards the Gentiles. He had an issue with them. He felt as if they were not worthy of the Holy Spirit. They were not worthy of the anointing. But God had to take them in a trance and say, Peter, I need to fix this. Because what you don't understand is that I'm trying to bridge the gap. I'm trying to show unity in the spirit that the Gentiles have a calling to.
Hallelujah.
But Peter was operating with a false perception, with a false expectation of what the gospel was.
Yes.
And it amazes me because God still used him.
Yes, he did.
But God even had to humble him even a little bit more and allow him in a particular text to what? Get arrested. He was arrested. He was arrested. He was arrested. God had to humble him. And I guarantee Peter probably thought that was it for him. He probably thought they were going to decapitate him like they did John. He probably thought that that was it for him. So God, you mean to tell me after this trance, you take me up in this trance and you show me that everything you made is clean, and now I'm going to get arrested? But God had to humble him. He had to humble him. They think they know who you are.
All right.
When people see you, they look at you in the marketplace, on your job. They think they know who you are. Because we operate in a time right now, we operate in a dispensation where people say perception is reality. Glory to God. To what they say perception is reality. What they fail to realize is that I'm human also. I have my good days and I have my bad days. I have my moments just like you. And I know I'm in church and I know I pray and I know God has used me to prophesy, but I'm human also. So don't allow, amen, your perception of me to become your reality, because I might be linked to your destiny. I might be linked to where God wants to place you, where he wants to catapult you. So don't think you know who I am. Having a false perception and a false reality and a false expectation of who you think I should be.
All right.
Because when you operate like that, you're putting accountability on me. You're taking it off of yourself. My God. People will prejudge you in the middle of your metamorphosis. They will prejudge you when you're in the process, amen, glory to God, and you're excited and you're on fire when you first come to church. They will prejudge you, amen, and you're still learning how to kill your flesh. And they will prejudge you and they will agonize you and they will antagonize you. And they might cause you to say some choice words to them. And the first thing come out of their mouth, oh, I thought you would say, when you just speaking in tongues, when you just laying at the altar. But one thing, you are an antagonizing demon. We have to understand that when we first come into church, that there's going to be, amen, some people that are going to try to pull on us and be an antagonizing demon to cause me to doubt the seeds that were planted in my life. I know I'm not the only one, but I've been there before. I thought you were such and such. I thought you were an evangelist such and such. I thought you were a prophet such and such. I thought you were, oh, but you can't do that. But it blows my mind that people who talk like that live any kind of way. I never understood that, Bishop, that people who judge people in the church, people who are striving, people who are fighting the good fight of faith and laying hold on eternal life, they are the only ones, amen, who judge people in the church. But I thank God for grace and mercy, because we still pray for them. We still invite them to church. We still want to see a change in their life. We still want to see progress.
Yes, 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 yes. Yes.
But I understand I understand now that when we come into this thing and when we come into the knowledge and revelation of who Jesus is, all it does, it puts a target on our back. When we walk around, people are saying, who is that? And why do you feel like this? And who are they? And they think they are better than us. But one thing they don't understand is that all we want to do is give them the Messiah.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. People will judge you for where you are at right now, with what you're going through right now in your life, not understanding that, amen, that this storm, this test, this trial, this tribulation, amen, I gotta go through it. I gotta press my way. You might be judging, you might be talking about me, but can I encourage you this morning? Look upon the hill which cometh to your help. In this season, set your face of flint. Glory to God, and keep moving and keep pursuing and keep pressing and keep pushing into the things of God, because the same people that talked about you will be the same people that need you later.
All right, man. All right.
So I came to remind the enemy, watch, amen, what you say about me. Watch what you say about God's sons and daughters. Watch what you say, because glory to God, the same people will need you. The same people.
Yeah.
Will message you on Facebook and ask you to pray for them, because I'm going through this and I'm going through that. But I thank God, amen, that we don't walk in offense. We will still humble ourselves and we will still pray for them. We will intercede and we will go see about you. We will come to your house and lay hands on you. Even though you talked about me, I'm going to show you that I still love you. Even though you slighted my name, I'm going to show you that I still love you. Why? Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And I'm going to show the love of the Messiah. I'm going to show the love of Jesus Christ that dwells on the inside. Even when you saw me, you was asking,
all right,
who is that?
Yes, yes, yes.
My God. Ha. They will judge you, Sister Lydia. They will judge you and say, but isn't your mom and dad a pastor? Have you been in church your entire life? Shouldn't you be this and shouldn't you be that? Didn't you get baptized at this certain age? And I saw you preaching on Facebook. Shouldn't you be here? They will judge you. But they don't understand all the hell, the spiritual powers that we go through behind the scenes, the things that people don't see, amen. All the nights I was up praying and interceding, all the nights I was up warring with demons, and I was up warring in the spiritual realm. They didn't see that, but they judged me off of what they saw. When I was in the middle of my storm, my trial, my test, my tribulation, they didn't see me praying. They didn't see me laying prostrate before God and asking God, Lord, take me through the storm, God. I won't run away from it, God, but take me through it, because I know that this is a making for my anointing. I understand that this is a process that I gotta go through. So the question is, why, God? And God said, because you are anointed.
Glory.
I kept hearing in the spiritual realm, a lot of people, amen, even here today, was asking, why, God? Why am I where I'm at right now? Why am I going through what I'm going through? Why am I experiencing what I'm experiencing? He said, because you are anointed. I won't put much on you, amen, than you can bear. I place it on your back, amen, because I know you can handle it. I knew you can go through it because you are a prayer warrior, because you've been in this thing, and you've been interceding, and you've been going through. I know you can handle it because you have the spiritual, amen, you have the spiritual knowledge, wisdom, revelation, you have the spiritual experience to go through it. You see, people of God, in this season, we must be watchful.
Thank you.
We must be watchful of people who think they know it all. We must be watchful of people who think they know it all. But only to be really shallow-minded people. Because a shallow-minded person wants to appear to have the perception of them being deep. But they base their thought processes, what? On misguided thought perceptions that places them in a place, amen, that God never intended for their minds to even be. Amen. So what happens is, amen, mentally, they exalt themselves into a place to where their flesh wants them to be, and that's not where God called them to be. They have the same mentality of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, amen, that were in the synagogue, that were talking about Jesus' passing. They were talking about, amen, isn't he only a carpenter? Isn't his mother only this? We know them, we're familiar with who they are. We must be watchful for people who think they know everything, and who think they know everything, but you can never give them any type of advice because they say, I already know. That is a dangerous-minded person.
Yes, amen.
That right there is nothing but a mere demon of arrogance that operates in puff up this, that operates in pride. We must be watchful for people like that in this season. Now, if we look at the particular text, and I'm almost done. We look at the particular text. Amen. We have Jesus around some people. Watch this. Jesus goes into the synagogue. And he's around people who has heard it all before. who has been in church and who's heard all the praise and worship songs and knows, amen, the A selection, the B selection, amen, that who knows the people, amen, who can hear a tune and say that's E flat, and he's around people, amen, who knows how to do church.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's around people, amen, who knows, amen, how to put on a form of godliness, who knows when they put on their church clothes, amen, I'm dancing in the spirit and I'm in the mirror practicing it. Glory to God. And you know what? I thank God I cannot do that. I thank God I'm out in the mirror just, I can't even do it. I thank God that I can't do that because I can't fake it. However God deals with me in worship, that's what you're going to get. It's going to be 100% true, authentic. I might be shouting. I might be screaming. I might jump over some chairs. You might see me fall out, snot all over my face. I might run around because I am practicing. It ain't nothing but the Holy Spirit that dwells on the inside of me. And I cannot rehearse how God is going to move. So he's surrounded by people who know how to do that. Surrounded by people who be practicing. And I remember I was asking my wife, how do people do that? They kick the leg up. And, I mean, I'm like, wow. It's like something you have to go through choreography for. Like you was in dance classes for this. How do they do this? She was like, baby, they practice this. I've seen people before service and they be in a big mirror and they all be in the bathroom. I'm like, oh my God, okay. Okay, so it's not something that naturally happens and it just evolves and I'm doing all this and kicking and, you know, so I'm glad that it's something, amen, that I can't do because I promise you that I will not rehearse that. Bless God. I had to get that out. Jesus surrounded by people like that. I know how to put them up and put them down and Amen. They practice their shouts and they practice their screams and they practice their hallelujahs, but never to be changed and never, amen, to be catapulted, amen. Not even understanding that who is before them and not understanding that the greatest pastor, the greatest prophet, the word that became flesh and dwelt among men is amongst them. He is right there in the midst of them. Instead of them receiving what he is saying, they are offended by him. They are offended by his presence. They are offended by the power and the authority that he walks in. They missed it because they wrote them off based off of jealousy and envy, Bishop. They wrote them off based off of jealousy and envy, and they were operating in strife and sowing discord among the brethren. I can imagine Jesus as he entered, amen, with all power and the authority in his hand. And as he entered, immediately they began to whisper amongst themselves, and who do he think he is? But what it was, amen, it was them demons on the inside of them that did not want to be delivered at that particular time. Because when you are around someone who is truly, genuinely, authentically anointed, you will become, amen, disgruntled. If you have something on the inside of you that shouldn't be there, you will be able to get up and you're going to walk around and you ain't going to be able to take worship. You ain't going to be able to take the word. You ain't going to be able to take when they open up their mouth because they walk in the true, genuine, authentic anointing, the resurrected blood of Jesus Christ. They wrote them off. They were jealous. They were envy. They had discord. This is a very dangerous mindset, and it caused them to miss their spiritual impartation. Because the Bible says that he was without honor, and Jesus already knew before he even went in that I'm going to go to this place, and they're not going to honor me, but it's okay because I must do the will of my Father. I must do the works of him who sent me. You see, honor is not value, Mom Benny's, like it used to be honor. It used to be valued, honored. Ministry, men and women of God are not honored the way it used to be valued. You used to not put your mouth on a man and woman of God. You used to not talk about a bishop. You used to not talk about an apostle or a prophet or a man, amen, who walked with God. You used to not do that. It is not valued anymore because people have a false, amen, expectation and a false, amen, accusation. They have a false perception on who they think we should be, but what makes me question their ability, their thought process, their hypothesis on who they think I should be? How can you base, amen, how can you prejudge me when you lack identity issues because you don't even know who Jesus is? So since you don't know who Jesus is, that lets me know that you lack, amen, and you have identity issues because you yet to understand, amen, who created you, who shaped you, who molded you. So you are the one living in a false perception of who you think you are. So we're living in a time to where I can imagine Jesus as he entered the synagogue. He's around people like right now, like the dispensation right now, people who are hungry for attention and people who want a microphone and people who wanna teach, amen, on things, but they don't attend church, they don't have a pastor, amen. They are nothing but rebels, they are rebellious. Oh my God, we live in that time right now to where people want to hop, amen, on Facebook Live with no accountability, but they want to be noticed. They don't, can't nobody go into their lives, can't nobody, amen, hold them accountable, can't nobody preach to them, can't nobody teach to them, can't nobody tell them nothing, but they're going Facebook Live for attention. Everyone in this season wants to be noticed, and their zeal, amen, for attention breathes the spirit of defiance. And the spirit of defiance have crept into the church, which is resistance, which is what rebellion, anti-submissiveness. The spirit of defiance walks, amen, and antagonizes the church. It antagonizes the body. So as I look at this particular text, I'm looking like Jesus is in an environment still ministering to these same people. And the thing is that Jesus already knew it because he knows the hearts of everyone before he enters into any congregation, into any building, into any synagogue. He knows, amen, the end from the beginning. And this spirit of defiance, Bishop, that as we look at the text and as we even deal with it right now, glory to God, it also breeds insubordination. It also breeds the spirit of disobedience.
All right.
Meaning that if you correct me, glory to God, you can't tell me nothing. And now I'm operating in the spirit of defiance. Now I'm offended. So the question is, glory to God, who are you? Who are you? Are you who they say you are? Are you who they prejudge you off of? Are you who you hang around with? Who you talk with? Who you text? Who you message? Who are you? Are you like the people in the synagogue when an anointed man or woman of God walks in, immediately you begin to judge them, immediately you begin to talk about them, immediately you bring up, amen, a slander that happened 10 years ago, but God still raises them up and still uses them before they embrace the pulpit? Are you still talking about, amen, a scandal that hit the news on CNN? Or are you going to be in a position to receive, knowing that God what restored him, reconciled him, reconciliation, loved him, and breathed him back into past all his failures, and still can use him in this season?
Amen.
Because when we look, amen, at the disciples, they failed Jesus right to his face. They failed over and over. They failed over and over. We look at the text as Peter said, Lord, I will die with you. He said, no, you won't. You're going to deny me 3 times. He said, no, Lord, I want to die with you. And surely he did what?
Denied 3 times.
Oh, my God. So who are you? The Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. He without sin, what? Cast the first stone. So just because, amen, you might be dealing with something in your life does not mean that God still cannot use you. The only people that have a false perception of that is mortal men. The only people who prejudge people, because I've heard something before and it really bothered me, and I'm praying, God, oh, I hope, amen, that this isn't everybody in the church, but me and my wife, we were talking about a man and woman of God, a particular person, never heard them preach, never heard them speak, and immediately out of their mouth was, can he preach? In my mind, it took me to a place, well, what does that mean? Because if God can use a donkey, if he can cause rocks to cry out,
all right.
If he can use anything in the earth realm, who am I to ask, can this person preach? Or who am I to ask, amen, are they able to articulate? Or can they operate, amen, in a form, amen, of hermeneutics? And do they have a theology degree? Do they have a doctoral? Do they have a doctorate degree? Do they call themselves apostles such and such? But I know that God can use anybody in this hour. He can use a kid. He can use a child. Amen. He can use a woman. He can use a man. So don't judge me on who you think I am. Don't judge me off of false perceptions.
Yes.
Lord, I pray you deliver the church from that.
Yes.
False perceptions. Glory to God. You see, we must understand, amen, that a Pharisee, a Sadducee-minded person will envy you, will prejudge you. Someone who does not want deliverance will say, it don't take all of that. It don't take you speaking in tongues. It don't take you jumping up and screaming, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. But you need to look at that demon and say, you don't know what I've been through. You don't know all the hell that I've been through just to get here, just to even be here right now. You don't know what I've been through when they molested me. And you don't know what I've been through when they touched me and I didn't tell nobody. You don't know what I've been through when my mom wanted to abort me. You don't know what I've been through when they rejected me and when they neglected me. But the only person that was still there who said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The only person when I called on the phone and when I texted and when I Facebooked and when I Snapchat, everybody else left me. But the only person that was there for me was Jesus. The only person that was there for me was the Spirit of God. The only person that was there for me when everybody else left me and they told me I wasn't good enough and they prejudged me and they had a false perception because I had some setbacks. And the only person who never left me, the only person with my refuge and my fortress, the only one that I can dwell in, the only one I can go into the secret place and I can find shelter, the only one, amen, that's not going to talk about me, that's going to run my name in the mud, the only one, amen, that has the power to vindicate me and pull me out of what I was going through and out of my mess. While you talked about me, God came and snatched me up. And while you doubted me, God came and snatched me up. While you judged me, God came and snatched me up and pulled me out of that mess. And while you talking, I'm going to let you talk because God is shaping. He is molding. He is placing greatness on the inside of me. He is giving me prophetic words, prophetic dreams. He's giving me books. He's making me a multimillionaire in the kingdom. While you talking about me, I'm going to let you talk because I know that God, amen, is preparing a table in the presence of my enemy before me. He's preparing a table. So while you talk, I'm going to let you talk and I'm going to let you have a false perception of who you think I am.
Thank you, Jesus. Lord.
Someone is saying this morning, but God, I've been through this. I've been through that. God, look at my family. Oh, God. God, look at my family. Look at my brothers. Look at my sisters. Look at my mother. Look at my father. I got people in my family that are on drugs. I got people in my family that won't even let me pray for them. I got people in my family that won't even step foot in church. God, can you still use me? God, sometimes I look at the perception of other people, but I even have a false perception of myself. God, at times I don't feel worthy. Oh, God. People are judging me off my past situations, my struggles. They're judging me, amen, off of, oh God, mental beatings and mental things that I've been through. Emotional trial, chest, and turmoil. They're judging me, amen, because I've been neglected. I've been rejected. They're judging me because I didn't have a mother. I didn't have a father. They're judging me, amen. They have a false perception because my kids are in foster care. They're judging me because I was in foster care. They're judging me because CPS came and placed me in a place. And I can give a testimony that CPS also came and uprooted me and my brothers out of a house for about 6 months, and I didn't know what was going on. And as I look back over my life and all the things that I've been through, and I still can't believe, God, Lord, you chose me. God, little old me, but he said in his word, but you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. I still ask myself, I still look in the mirror. And at times I still have a false perception of myself and not who God says that I am. God, you still gonna use me in this? You still gonna make the vision come to pass? But God, I've been through a divorce. Lord, my marriage is in turmoil. I'm going through so much hell. What are the people going to think? What are the perceptions that they have of me? God, I don't have nowhere to stay. I don't have any money in my account. God, I lost my cars. And, oh, God, my family don't believe in me anymore. God, are you sure it's me? Are you sure? And God is saying, yes. Because I don't base material things off of if you're blessed or not. I bless you before the foundation of the world. I put my word in you. I called you to be a prophet unto the nations. Before you even formed in your mother's womb, before you were even created, I knew who you were going to be. I know what you were going to go through. I understood, amen, what you were going to have to face in life. I understood the false perceptions that people have of you, the false expectations, and God saying, go through it. All of this, and even Jesus, as he was here in the mortal flesh, the mortal body, he was here. He went through, he experienced, amen, people who talked about him, people who persecuted him, people who had a false expectation, people who tried to put him in a box. But all of this was to show us, to give us a glimpse in this life. What we go through is creating a greater anointing. What we go through is creating us to be powerful in him. What we go through, when we are weak, we must understand that we are made strong. So God, help us, God, get past false perceptions and false realities that people create and people want to place us in. And Lord, deliver us from people.
Ah.
I don't know about you, but I still deal with it. I still struggle with that because I'm the kind of person, I want everybody to like me. And you know, I'm a joyful person. I love talking to people. And I love being around people. And I want everyone to like me. But then God reminded me that you have Jesus on the inside of you. So people are going to persecute you. People are going to hate you. People, amen, are going to have an issue with you. Not because of you, because of what dwells on the inside of you. It is I. It is Jesus. He said, I am the one that dwells. I am the one that they hate. I'm the one that they despise. So whatever they are doing, don't take it personal. Apostle Nita Scott said, reminding me one thing, glory to God. Do not take your spiritual warfare personal.
Yes. Don't take it personal.
Ah. My God.
Glory. Yes, Jesus.
Don't take it personal. Stay in it, please. I want to encourage you this morning, amen, that you were born for greatness. It doesn't matter, amen, on age. It doesn't matter on gender. Because in the spiritual realm, none of that matters.
Amen.
Greatness is on the inside of you. Greatness. He predestined you for greatness. I want to encourage you, in spite of, amen, false perceptions and false realities that we create for ourselves and places that we feel that we should be in. We should feel like at this age I should be here. But God is saying, don't look at that. Don't look at tangible things. Look unto me. Because when you look to me, amen, there's no perversion. There's no doubt. When you look to me, there's no doubting in your faith. When you look to me, amen, there's no way you can look outside the cross, because you are now focusing on me, even though you are going through what you're going through. But God said, in this hour, in this season, I am about to do what people said I would never do and what you thought that I could never do in your life. So don't look at the mere reality. I am now beginning to understand what it means when it says to walk by faith and not by sight. Have I got there 100%? No. Have any of us got there 100%? No. So not only do I want to deliver us, amen, from the false perceptions of people, but even the false perception of ourselves. Some of the greatest people in the earth realm, amen, did not become successful. If we look at KFC, the owner, amen, the creator of KFC, he did not get to that point in place, amen, till he was 65 years old. Which further lets me know, amen, that God does not operate in time. He goes from what? Glory to glory and faith to faith.
Yes, yes.
So I'm here to let us know, all of us let us know, amen, that we are chosen for greatness. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you humble this morning. We say thank you for delivering a great word that you hid us behind the cross this morning. That I pray that the word this morning was preached was effective. To deliver us, God, from false perceptions, God. To deliver us, God, from false expectations from people. To deliver us from people that we would not take our warfare personally. That we will set our faces aflame in this hour, God. That we won't worry about who judges us. We won't worry about who slanders us. We won't worry about it anymore, God. We will not focus on that, God, because we are now focused on the cross. And we bless you. We honor your name this morning, God. We thank you, God, after a righteous man falls, but he has the ability to get back up again and dust himself off and consecrate himself there to where he will be able to use him. You will be able to flow through him. We thank you this morning, God, that you are delivering us not only from people, but you are delivering from us from ourselves.
Amen.
Because if we're never delivered from ourselves, we will destroy ourselves. What does it profit a man to gain the whole wide world but to lose his soul? So this morning, God, we give our lives back over to you. We withhold nothing, God. We give everything back to you, God. Everything from our hands are not casted into your hands. All the burdens, all the trials, all the tests, all the tribulations, God. We give it over to you. Because you are the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the author, the finisher of our faith, God. So, Lord, we thank you this morning, God, to let you remind us, God, that in this hour, in this season, that we will set our faces aflint. And we declare and decree this morning, God, that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. We know, God, that the weapons will form, God. But Lord, in this season, in this hour, God, let us not focus on the weapons that form, but show us, God, how to destroy them as they're formed in the spiritual realm, God. Even when they become tangible, God, we will war in the spiritual realm. For we war not against flesh and blood, God, but against principalities, God, spiritual wickedness, God. We understand, God, that there are strongholds, God, that don't want to see us elevated, don't want to see us go to another realm and dimension, God. So, Lord, in this hour, in this season, God, we humble ourselves, God, and we become a servant for you. We become a servant for you. So whatever we do in your name, God, we do it. We do it, God, humbly, God. We do it respectfully, God. We reverence you. We honor you. And we will say everything we do in your name. To God be the glory. So we honor you, God. We thank you this morning, God. And we thank you, God, for delivering us, God, from false perceptions and false realities, God, and false expectations, God, and people who say they deserve this, and thus saith the Lord. We thank you, God, because in this hour, in this season, we will be sober, we will be vigilant, for the adversary walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But we declare and decree on this day that we will be sober, we will be vigilant, we will see the enemy from afar, not only see the enemy from afar, but our worship will go before us. Our worship will be lifted up because you inhabit the praises of your people, God. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, God, for deliverance this morning. We thank you, God, from deliverance, God. And we will stay in a secret place. We will dwell in you. Inhabit, God. We want you to inhabit our praises, God. We want you to inhabit every word that we speak, everything that we say, everything that we do, God. We wanted to do it pleasing unto you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. And God, we give you glory. We give you honor and we give you praise. Give God some glory this morning. Amen. Give God a shout. Give him a praise. Give him a hallelujah. Give him a thank you. Come on, people of God, lift it up right now. Glory to God, lift it up. Take it up another level. You can turn it off, baby. You can turn it off. Glory to God, give him some praise. I want to end, amen, with worship. I want to end, amen, in worship. Because I want to end in worship. 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 Because God has not delivered us, amen, from false expectations and false perceptions. I want to end in worship. Come on, take it up, people of God. Stand to your feet. Give him a yes. Hey God, deliverance in our worship. Come on, people of God, worship. We give you a royal yes, God.